what's ever for you.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
Colonel Hall, you've got to get us out of here now! I won't let you down. I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com on this day, June 1st, 2022. I hope you're having a good June day. Well, while we have it, weather's kind of cool and breezy here today. It rained overnight. It was a sweltering sweltering, sweaty day as of yesterday, May 31st, so it ended up May pretty well if you wanted to sweat it out. And in case that was a hot mess of a start, I did my Skype, I did my share screen, and then good thing I checked in because nothing was playing. So it became a hot mess of a start. So let me first introduce myself. This is High Noon Chicago Brew, and I'm back with you for today. Fortunately, I was able to come and do my own show. Wow. Hey, round of applause. Clap, everybody. Hey. But I had a good run of work, and I couldn't miss a day of anything. And I'm usually working far away, and I got over an hour drive, 30, 40-mile drives back and forth. I try to put in as many hours when possible in a day as I can. So I'm working 8, 10, 12 hours if I can, if it's there. And I haven't said no to a job in the last 5 weeks or so. Literally only had a couple days off within that time. So I'm trying to play catch up because the winter was really crappy for me. Very, very, very crappy. So I got a dull, this week is a little transitioning. So, but in any case, I will always listen to my broadcasts, as many of you do as well. And this past Saturday, there was a discussion with Dr. Robert O. Young. His website is drrobertyoung.com, drrobertyoung.com. And his he does terrain theory. Now, you have virus, you know, oh, what's a virus? Virology, you know. We have the the fight going on out there of opinions and thought and belief. You know, there's viruses. Oh my gosh, there's a virus. Or it's terrain theory, which is environmental. You know, what's around you, what you're eating, how you treat yourself, how you're not treating yourself. And Dr. Robert Young goes into terrain theory. We can also reference, if you guys have probably heard it before, the people that wrote the book, What Makes You Ill. If you just do a search engine for that, What Makes You Ill. It's a book they wrote, these two people, and so forth. You can find all types of conversations where they're having about terrain theory again. Now, of course, anybody of you here listens to Jeff Renz, I've been hearing it, him and Erica Kahn, every time they go, oh, but there's no such thing as viruses, and they both get a giggle, and they both giggle. Anyone that believes that there's no viruses, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. So you have all sorts of opinions, even by those that you believe are trying to bring you the best of the best of the information out there. So we're going to visit with Dr. Robert Young with Ingrid Castle on a friendly another independent media network that we have. And it's a real good conversation. Tune in, listen up, and you can always check out their archives once you realize what network this was on. This was May 28, 2022, and here we go.
Flowing and real for me and resonates with the truth. So here we go. This is Dr. Robert O. Young, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to be on your show, and thank you for the introduction and the platform for people to learn more and to gain further knowledge, further light knowledge that can help themselves and their loved ones.
Right. In fact, I believe that's how you even got into this line of research. You were actually, were you in your 40s or something, that you were seeing people get ill and that they certainly weren't being helped? Was it a family member? I'm trying to remember your whole story because I heard it before.
Well, I was interested in biology and studied it at the university, and that was prior to turning pro in athletics and kind of taking the same route that Jimmy Connors and Stan Smith and others did. I mean, Roscoe Tanner. We went to great schools and we saw the opportunity to improve our financial or economic state, and so we took the easier path. But at that time, my passion has always been in the sciences, and I knew eventually I would come back to it. But I came back to it after I retired at the age of 29 from professional sport. I kind of took a sabbatical from traveling a lot, didn't get back into schooling until, you know, my 30s. So at that particular time, I started to look around the United States for subjects that I was interested in areas of convenience, even though I was living in Salt Lake City at the time. Mm-hmm. And my great-great-grandfather founded two universities, the University of Utah and also Brigham Young University. So, I could pick my choice of the university, you know, I wanted to go to, but they really weren't teaching the things I wanted to study, per se, except for conventional understandings. I was very interested in the time and the work of Dr. Gunther Enderlin and the German scientists, and so I kind of leaned towards the work of Dr. Marie Blecker and studied under her for several years. And that's where I learned about a very important organ called the colloidal connective tissue of the shod. And shod is now interpreted to be interstitium, and it contains a fluid called the interstitial fluid. And those interstitial fluids are the fluids that surround every cell of the human body. Mm-hmm. And their theory was that, of course, the Meilu, which has two major body fluids. I mean, there's actually three major body fluids. One is called the vascular fluids. We all hear about the blood. We probably had our blood tests before. But you need to understand that the blood fluids only represent 10% of the body fluids. Mm-hmm. So it was really difficult for me to conclude that was enough information to make some sort of intelligent conclusion about what was happening at the cellular level, when in reality it really didn't deal with the cells. It was outside the organs per se, because the fluid that was around the cells and in and around the cells were the interstitial fluids, and of course that made up 80% of the body fluids. 20% of the extracellular fluids was vascular. 80% was the interstitial fluids. Those are called the extracellular fluids. The intracellular fluids, of course, are the fluids inside the cells. But once you understand these three fluids, then you can start looking at the whole body.
Okay. Yeah, I want to look at how the lymphatic system ties in. So hold on. You're listening to Dr. Robert Young on the show.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough.
Interstitial fluid of the interstitium and its function. And I was going to ask them how this ties to the lymphatic system, because, you know, when we inject a vaccine in, it never goes directly into the bloodstream or it would kill you. It goes into what we always thought was the lymphatic system, but they would probably goes into the interstitium.
It goes into the interstitial fluids, yes. And from there, the body either compartmentalizes, because the organ, which is the largest organ of the body, which is called the interstitium, contains these interstitial fluids, but they're compartmentalized in order to hold fluid until it can push it into the lymphatic vessels and then out through either perspiration or urination or defecation. But the bottom line is the lymphatic system is a separate system, a separate circulatory system that handles the interstitial fluid. So when you're urinating, you're actually urinating interstitial fluid. And it's a representation, and the pH of that urine is a representation of those fluids that surround every cell. And if you think about this as the cell being a fish that's swimming in the ocean, the fish would only be as healthy as the cleanliness of the ocean or the pH of the ocean. It just so happens the ocean ideally should be at a pH of 8.4. Right now it's measuring in the 8.3s, but it's bottom line is that it's the same pH, ideal pH, that the interstitial fluid should be at 8.4. Mm-hmm. And so this particular fluid needs to be at a higher pH, and the reason for that is because the blood is dumping all of its waste, all of its metabolic, all of its dietary waste into the interstitium until it can be moved out into the lymphatic system and out through the elimination organs.
Where the urine, so we have a bladder, so it's dumping into the bladder from the...
Yeah, it's dumping into the bladder, goes through the kidneys, and goes through that filtration system and then dumps into the bladder and then out through out as urine. And of course the pH of that ideally should be at 8.4, but 99.9% of the people are living in polluted environments. In other words, your cells that make up your organs, your kidneys, your liver, your brain, all of these cells are bathed in this fluid, and the ideal pH is 8.4, but people aren't living at that pH. And so you'll probably find at the best, even though, let's say, on conventional urine tests from medical doctors, they're saying the ideal pH is between 5.5 and, you know, they'll go up as high as 8.5. But the problem with that type of understanding is that people don't understand that it's exponential. So a pH of a 5.5 versus 8.5 is approximately 100,000 times more acidic than it should be. And anyone in a cancerous condition, they're peeing acid. In fact, it even burns in many cases. But that acid, which causes urinary tract infections, or UTI, associated with lots of women, you know, don't realize that they're literally poisoning their interstitial fluid, which is affecting the cells, and that body has to get rid of it. If it doesn't, it'll cause cellular breakdown. That'll cause a ulceration or a lesion and lead to a degenerative condition that we call cancer. So cancer is a four-letter word. It's spelled ACID. The main cancer that causes, there's two main cancer acids that we produce through metabolism. One is called citric acid. The other one is called lactic acid. And both of these acids are the cause of cancer, and they travel through the interstitium fluids and affect every organ and every organ system. And of course, you'll experience those challenges of irritation or inflammation or even ulceration or degeneration in the weakest areas of your body. So if you've had a physical trauma, or if you have a genetic predisposition, or you're having tremendous stress, of course, this will create problems in areas of weakness. And of course, the kidney ideally should have a pH of 8.4, bladder 8.4. But, you know, lymphatic 8.4. But the problem is, once again, those pHs are affected by what we eat, by what we drink, by what we breathe, by what we think, by how we live and in the environment that we live in. If we're exposed to radiation, either radio or microwave radiation, we're finding now a lot of patients are experiencing UTIs because 5G boils your blood. And when you boil the blood, that creates acid that pushes out in the interstitium, which is causing an increase of urinary tract outfections. Not infections, but outfections.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that.
No germs here, folks.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I get it. So just hold on, because we have a good section after this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not...
You know, just getting into this whole discussion, you brought up outfection. Let's try to recap a little bit that this interstitium fluid connected to the bladder, you know, and how...
Well, it's not... It's connected... No, it is an organ that surrounds every cell in the human body that makes up every organ, every gland, every tissue. You have interstitial fluid of the muscle. You have interstitial fluid of the heart. You have interstitial fluid of the brain. These are the fluids. And when your brain is functioning, the neurons are functioning electrically, they produce a waste product, lactic acid. That gets dumped into the interstitium. Eventually, that's dumped into the lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system then takes it to the lymphatic system to get rid of it. But if the body cannot get rid of its own waste, that's when it gets stored in the connective tissue. That's why we feel when we overexercise, we feel lactic acid buildup, because the body's not removing it fast enough through the pores of the skin. So it's building up in the muscle, because if it builds up in the interstitial fluids, which is an organ that contains this fluid called the interstitium, which is the largest organ of the human body, which America just embraced, not discovered. No. They just decided they better get on the bandwagon just a couple of years ago. Now, I've been studying this thing for close to 40 years. This is not news to me, you know, and all of a sudden they just accepted the fact that there is an organ that's larger than the skin. It's more important than any other organ. In fact, it's the place or the genesis of all sickness and disease. And so the question is disease caused by a virus or a germ, or is it caused by a toxin or an acid? And my research says that it's caused by a toxin and an acid, that the symptoms of germs are cellular breakdown products, and they can go from micro to nanotechnology, which is wrongfully associated with disease. All germs are nothing more than byproducts of cellular breakdown caused by a polluted environment. So here's the metaphor, folks. If you have a fishbowl with a fish in it and the fish is sick, what are you going to do? Are you going to treat the fish, or are you going to change the water?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so the other question is what is your doctor going to do? The doctor is going to vaccinate the fish. The doctor is going to start treating the fish, and the fish is surely going to die from any invasive treatments, because it's not addressing the cause. You're addressing the effects. Modern-day medicine does not deal with the cause. Modern day medicine deals in every way, and they have a nomenclature where they name things like arthritis. That's not a disease, folks. That's a symptom of a disease, a symptom of acidity. So just like we were talking about urinary tract infections, that's not a disease, folks. That's a symptom. Just like Corona is an effect. It's not a disease. It's what happens to cells when they're being poisoned by their environment. They actually give rise to spike proteins. They actually give rise to exosomes or crowns and effect. And so that's not the disease, it's effect. So you have to peel this thing back. If you're going to look at the genealogy of this, you know, and who's the original father, it comes back down to the environment and the condition of the biochemistry. Now, the problem here with current medical science and American medicine specifically is they're only testing 10% of the body fluids and basing all the diagnostics on that. When they're ignoring, you know, this large body of water, which is the interstitium, which contains a very important pH, a very important biochemistry, which is where all of the waste products end up and are then flowing through this fluid like a river and touching every cell, every organ that comes in contact. Now, if you want to know whether or not your interstitial fluids that surround the cells, that is kind of the fluid in which the cells are dumping into, including the blood, you have to test your urine. The urine is a product of the interstitium organ, the interstitial fluids, and not of the blood. And the what is called high tide, and like the ocean, you have a flood and you have an ebb, okay. But the high tide for acid is between 3 o'clock in the morning till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The high tide for alkalinity is between 3 p.m. in the afternoon and 3 a.m. in the morning. So when you first get up and test your urine, your first and second urine, if it's not above 7.2, then you got a huge problem. And if you want to prevent the inevitable, which will happen, you know, if you continue to not manage the internal fluids, your ocean, your rivers, your streams, your swimming pool, what is going to happen? Cells will break down, bacteria will build up, yeast will build up, and then you'll go to the doctor and get an antibiotic, and that causes even more problems because the bacteria and the yeast are products of cellular breakdown. They're not an infection, folks. It's an infectious condition that's caused by the internal environment and how well you're attending to it. And guess what? 99.9% of you are totally out of sync with this because it's not being taught in our schools. It's not being taught in our high schools, our universities, and they don't want it taught.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask, outfection. So when you say outfection, you're insinuating that it's like trying to get out. These toxins are trying to get out of your body and originate.
No, that's not what I mean. An infection is a transformation of genetics and cellular membrane that's giving birth to a whole different form. In other words, matter can change its form and its function based upon its environment. Now, how do you know that? How do I know that? I know it in the macro world because I have a refrigerator. And if I put food in the refrigerator, I know it'll preserve it to a certain extent. But that yeast or bacteria mold that starts showing up on the food because you didn't attend to it, or you left it in there, you didn't ingest it or what have you, or you didn't throw it away. This is not an infection, folks. These germs of yeast and bacteria are born in and out of the cell. So it's very important to understand that germs are not infectious. The germs of the air are just biological transformation or breakdown products of animal, plant, or human matter that's gone airborne. Okay, that you talk about, let's say, valley fever, when the Santa Ana winds come up and starts blowing all the plant fragments and animal, lizard, and insect, and people breathe that in. Mm-hmm. That's disturbing. Mm-hmm. It causes a condition called coccidiomycosis. And all it is the body is, you've taken in a toxin and it's caused a change in the environment and the cleanliness of that environment. And that's then disturbs the central balance of a cell and the cell begins to morph. It begins to biologically change. And out of that, this was a discovery I made in 1994, an anthrax bacteria literally born out of a lung cell. It literally was a lung cell or a blood cell. Because people don't understand, these cells can morph and change because cells are not living. Cells are made up of living, indestructible matter that is precursor to genetics and cell organization. That's what's living, and that's all that's left over after you've been cremated. That's all that's left out when the deterioration of the body has gone to dust. That dust is indestructible matter. It cannot be created, nor can it be destroyed. It can only change its form and function. The uniqueness is I can take 200 pounds of that material and I can exchange all of the information from all sources, even from the cloud, and literally hold that information as a database collection in 200 pounds of this material, and I still wouldn't be able to fill it up. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the super hard drive. Guess what it is? It's your own blood. It's the anatomical elements that make up your blood. Every thought, every word, every deed is encrypted on these anatomical elements. And that's why it's very important not to eat the blood of animals, not to eat the flesh that is made from the blood of animals. It's not healthy because it is foreign to yours because of its anatomical elements, which has the cow's experience, the horse experience, or the sheep experience, whatever, the egg. Here again, this is intelligent matter that is immediately rejected once you eat it. Provides no human benefit whatsoever. Somebody says, well, it's high in protein. Doesn't matter. The body doesn't use protein. The body needs foundational elements of chlorophyll, oil, water, and salt in order to build the super stem cells in the crypts of the small intestine to build blood, which then builds every cell in the body. Muhammad said this. He said, don't you understand that you were made out of one drop of blood? And guess what that one drop of blood is made out of? Chlorophyll, oil, water, and salt. Nothing to do with protein. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So these protein organizations take place, you know, and can evolve and develop. Blood becomes muscle. Blood becomes bone. Blood becomes heart cell. It's a muscle. You know, so all of these becomes neuron cells. So once you understand that the germ is nothing, and then when you get into the discussion of viruses, then we start talking, do these things really exist? And the answer is no. There is no new disease, and there are no new viruses. And if you wonder why you are getting sick, because you are the author of your own sicknesses. And the reason you are the author of your own sicknesses and disease, because you are the one living it. You are doing this with your own jawbone, with what you eat, what you drink, what you breathe, what you, even your brain, what you think produces waste products, acids that can kill you. In fact, fear is one of the major killers in the world. It stands for false evidence appearing real. The opposite of fear is faith, which is first attribute in thinking healthy. People are killing themselves every day with their thoughts. In fact, 80% of all heart attacks are in reality thought attacks. But for every thought that you have, you produce an acidic waste. And if that acidic waste is not eliminated via the interstitium organ, the interstitial fluids into the lymphatic system and out through the pores of the skin or urination or defecation, or, you know, if you're not exercising and you're not producing enough carbon dioxide, which is a major element that combines with water and salt that the stomach uses to produce a compound known as baking soda. Did you know that your stomach produces baking soda every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week of your life? And the quality and the quantity of that determines the health of your blood and interstitium, because it is the stomach that's on the front line of immunity, not the lymphatic cells. That's another misconception. So Neil Solomon, who was the head of research at Johns Hopkins, said about my work, if Dr. Young new biology, that he is on the threshold of a new biology, that if proven, and I've already proven it, if proven, will change the biology and medical worlds as we know them today, period. So here's a guy that was the head of a major school in physiology, Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, was nominated by President Nixon to become, you know, the head of our health system.
Right.
And to become the Surgeon General. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I don't want to do that if I don't have control in the direction that we do this. And I'm going to allow free choice. I'm going to allow not just conventional, but by alternative methods so that people have choices in the type of care and quality or quantity of care that they want to choose from. So they can choose holistic care or they can choose conventional medical care. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, we can't do that. And the reason we can't go do this, we can't go down that line, why there's such a pushback on new methods, new organs, and all the medical texts have to be rewritten because they're not even discussing the subject of nutrition, let alone discussing this organ of the interstitium and the interstitial fluid, let alone the techniques in testing these fluids and measuring them as it relates to properly diagnosing their clients and patients. But my program was being taught at the School of Medicine at the largest black university in the United States, Morehouse College School of Medicine. It lasted a year. And the reason it only lasted a year is because the school was threatened that they would lose their funding if they continued to teach things that were not part of the curriculum that had already been approved. And of course, you know who's doing the approving.
Yeah, right.
It's called Big Pharma.
Big Pharma. I like that. Instead of pharma, it's harma. Because it's true. They control all the sciences these days.
Well, there's another one. It's called Bad Pharma. Or Bad Karma. One of the two. But it's...
it is bad karma to be part of Big Pharma. For sure. So, yeah, so just to clear the interstitium, the lymphatic system, and then when it's dumping waste, so it doesn't come out, it all come out of your lymphatic system. And as you're drinking water, of course, that feeds the interstitium all these fluids, you know, and it gives it its ability to excrete the waste, which would go through your kidneys and through your bladder, the excess, but also through your lymphatic system, right?
Well, lymphatic system is just the sewer system of the body. The interstitial fluid is the major organ that helps to purify those fluids and recycle those fluids and also manage that waste. So, I mean, it's not the big dump. It's just the fluid that helps to protect the cell membranes. And mm-hmm. It's going to call up the stomach to produce more sodium bicarbonate if the pH drops in the blood. The pH cannot drop more than 0.2 points, or you go into a coma. You're dead at 0.3. pH from a 7.365 to 7.265 to 7.165. You're in a coma, and you're dead at one more point one. So it's you can't drop below 7, and this is called decompensated acidosis of the vascular fluids. But what mm-hmm. precedes that is decompensated acidosis of the interstitial fluids, because acidosis rarely appears in the blood unless you're in a serious condition where you're dealing with a lesion or degeneration of the cell, and of course then you'll see waste that's actually pouring back from the interstitial fluids into the blood that's lowering the pH. And, of course, if it drops significantly enough, you can pass out and die from that. And this is what happens when end-of-life-type scenarios are happening. People don't get old, they actually mold, and the mold is a cellular breakdown that's creating a severe amount of acidity, and that's why people start to smell moldy, oldy moldy, you know, as a coin of this. But the reason they're molding is because they're not taking care of the internal environment. They're not changing the fluids. They're not drinking the right kind of water. They're not drinking enough of the right kind of water, which should be filtered, functionally structured, ionized, alkalized at a pH between 9.5 and 10, at an ORP at negative 450 millivolts, the people are getting life force energy because we've been brainwashed to believe that our bodies run on carbohydrates or sugar. In reality, sugar is a waste product of cellular breakdown, just like our bananas when they begin to rot or deteriorate and start getting their little spots like older people do. You know, they get, they're called age spots. No, they're brown and black spots, just like brown. And so this little saying, I don't mean this disrespectfully, is, you know, people don't get old, they mold, and mold is the culmination of cellular breakdown. And forget the viruses. Viruses, you know, is just a nomenclature on what is happening at the cellular level. And then on the molecular level, of course, my work using electron microscopes and optical microscopy, you know, we've identified what the cause of these symptomologies, and it's systemic poisoning. And that's why I've said, and I'll say it again, that there's no such thing as a safe vaccine. These are all bioweapons. They do not provide any immunity whatsoever. They contain various poisons of different forms of graphite that's reduced to graphene and graphene oxide and then reduced graphene that acts as a biosensor to hook you up intentionally to the Internet of Things to literally control your consciousness, to control your human body. And it literally becomes a serious problem if you've been the unfortunate one to receive that package and that inoculation, because in the first inoculation, your risk was 1 in 200. In the second inoculation, it was 1 in 4. And, you know, I haven't got any vials on the other two boosters. I can just imagine it's only getting worse because 90% of all injuries and deaths are in the population of those who have been vaccinated with this bioweapon, folks. Wake up and refuse it, because it's not just the corona bioweapon. It's all of these inoculations contain nanoparticulates, you know, of different elements in the nano range. And of course, we're talking about 1/1,000,000,000 of an inch when we're talking about nano size. And anything below 75 nanometers can pass through the membrane. Anything below 35 nanometers can pass into the genetics. And the types of materials they're using, which is graphene oxide, and it's being delivered by an M, which stands for modified genetic matter, RNA, to deliver the package of this graphene ferric oxide poison. It's directed specifically to the female reproductive organs to create sterilization, to the heart, and that's why we're seeing lots of the symptomologies related to females, not to males, and also the heart with myocarditis and pericarditis. And then we're seeing a balance, because we're not dealing with just mRNA, we're dealing with mmRNA, which is multiple modified genetic markers coming from specific organs of either human, you know, aborted fetuses or animals that will drive this, because this vaccine is a directed bioweapon. It is geared and targeted to specific organs and specific glands, and it's doing that with these genetic materials to drive the graphene oxide and this material to the various glands and organs for the purpose of sterilization, and potentially, as this thing goes on out and 4G and 5G and then 6G, there's no way that anyone can survive this if that 5G increases. Right now, we're experiencing anywhere from 2.4 gigahertz to 8.4 gigahertz. But at 41.3 gigahertz, there's a quantum link. And after that, 60, that creates complete hypercapnia and hypoxia, which will suffocate the person. And, of course, the person at 60 gigahertz or higher would die because of hypoxia and the destruction of the hemoglobin and the ability of the cells to literally get oxygen or remove carbon dioxide.
Well, we do have a couple questions that are coming up.
So, does the stomach or intestines digest food? Learn the truth about the stomach and intestines. Very fascinating questions. He also has a book that is called that, I believe, something along those lines. Anyway, that goes.
It's called the pH Miracle Revised and Updated. It's published by Hachette, 2010. The original book is the pH Miracle. Sold over 10 million copies in 29 different languages. You're going to get a lot of good information from that book. My original book, Sick and Tired, or One Sickness, One Disease, and One Treatment, which is no longer available. The Sick and Tired book is available at phmiracleproducts.com. Mm-hmm. They sell that, or you can get it on Amazon if you want the digital copy. But, I've been at this for over 40 years, and... it's interesting how this more and more people are getting interested in the terrain theory versus the germ theory, and you may think it's a new theory. It's not. I mean, we've been talking about this. It started with a great scientist by the name of Antoine Béchamp, who wrote the book The Blood, the Third Anatomical Element, and also Lace Microzymas, who is a French medical doctor and scientist that was complete dichotomy to Pasteur. In fact, he said this, of which is one of his greatest statements: the germ is nothing, the terrain is everything. And I know that's been attributed to others, but probably the main one that he said is that germs are born in us and from us. And it's being just like in your refrigerator. When you see germs in your refrigerator, it's because it's coming from cellular transformation, from that organized matter. As it disorganizes, it produces the micro and anatomical elements, or the micro or nano elements, that we theoretically call germs. But here again, they're not infectious. They're just remnants of the fact that you've compromised your internal environment through a perverted or inverted way of living. You need to purify the internal fluids and stop treating organs and diseases, because there are no diseases. There's only symptoms of disease. And when you start cleaning up the internal environment, wow, amazing miracle happens. That's why it's called the pH miracle, which is not understood very well by current medical savants. Between what? The law of physics, between the cause and effect relationship. That's what we're talking about. You know, what causes sudden, adverse respiratory disease or SARS? SARS is a condition of the fluids of the body, not the cells of the body. And when you clean up those fluids, then the disease goes away. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally agree. So you wrote an article. I just have to, as part of your blog, there is no evidence of the existence of any virus regarding specifically the COVID virus that supposedly poisoned everyone around the world. And yeah, there was poisoning going on around the world, but it wasn't a virus. And you went and asked for evidence, isolation and, taking this virus, SARS-CoV-2, or whatever they want to call it, and taking it from a sick person and being able to take that isolate from that person and put it into a healthy person and produce illness. And that has not been done. Is that right? And
yeah, those are basic. That's called the gold standard for scientific methodology in testing to prove out any particular matter if if we're assuming that it's causing a dis-ease in the body. You have to isolate it, purify it, and then reinfect a non-infected person and create the same symptoms that were produced in the first specimen where you took this material from. So you, if you're going to take like monkeypox, you're going to have to take the pus of that. You're going to have to purify, isolate the virus, and then reinfect someone who doesn't have those conditions, and create the same condition that was found in the first specimen. Guess what, folks? You know, the body's got to get rid of its waste. And if it can't get rid of it through defecation, urination, or respiration, it's coming through the pores of the skin. And those acne pimples, that pus, that eruption on the skin, that's coming from your interstitial fluids and the body's inability to remove its own waste. Mm-hmm. And literally, it's because once you clean up the diet, once you move to a more alkaline-based, plant-based diet, and you start, you know, incorporating more chlorophyll, more oxygen, more alkaline water, more sunshine, more salt, more exercise. These types of things is what's going to heal not only the physical, the emotional, but the spiritual body as well. But it's uncleanliness within, which is the problem, and the inoculation is not going to clean. It just makes things worse, and it's not even intended to make things better. Mm-hmm. That's what's so not just sad, just horrific about what I'm telling you, is that the vaccinations, all of them, are intended to do harm. Period.
We get that. We definitely do. Everyone, I have a lot of listeners to my show, and they've done the research. I don't believe there's anyone that listens to the show that succumbed to the bioweapon. But many of them did get shots in the past, and that's a whole other issue, you know, because we have things like Lyme disease and, you know.
Lyme disease is not a disease. I'm sorry. I disagree with that. There's no such thing as Lyme.
That's what they're saying, that they have all these
symptoms. It's a symptom of polluted interstitial fluid. Test the biochemistry of the interstitial fluids. Test the urine. Mm-hmm. Clean up the urine. Hyperperfuse alkalinity. Open up the channels of elimination. And bygone forever, Lyme's disease, which is a perverted symptomology of and a representation of your own authorship of that condition. Once you accept the reality that you are responsible for your health and the quality and quantity of your health, will the day you'll be born again to start improving the quality and quantity of life. If you buy into the etiology that cancer is a disease, that MS is a disease, that Lyme's is a disease, that MS is a disease, this is a total lie, a total hallucination for only one purpose: to extract money from you and minimize the quality and quantity of your life and keep you addicted and a slave to their system, to these bad actors.
I actually do agree with you, believe it or not. But, you know, I do have to say there's always people that are going to want to, drink their coffee in the morning and do whatever they
do. That's free will. That's a different subject.
I understand. But there, you know, we have a question about your opinion of supplementing with baking soda. You know, like taking...
Well, baking soda, I mean, look, what did they do in 1918 for the Spanish flu epidemic? Who are the people that survived? Who are the people that didn't get sick? There are ones that were taking 1 teaspoon of baking soda from Arm and Hammer's 3 times a day, they never got sick. They never had injuries, and they never died from the so-called, you know, Spanish flu virus, which, by the way, doesn't even exist. What exists was the radiation and the waves of that combined with the inoculation, which was poisonous, which was also a bioweapon, that injured and killed up to 100 million people.
And don't forget that they were just experimenting with chemical weapons, and they were doing lots and lots of mustard gas in World War One.
Well, mustard gas is an acid. It's a poison. And that's what it's always been about for the thousands of years that you know, poisoning has been the weapon of choice. I mean, we're talking about this even with this crazy situation that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're talking about bioweapons. I mean, that's chemical poisoning. Or we're talking about nuclear, which is radiation. I've been screaming this from the rooftops for 40 years. Folks, what's killing us is radiation and chemical poisons.
Yes.
Yes, a bullet will kill you, but it takes someone from the other side to pull the trigger. That bullet is a metaphor for acid. If you keep pulling the lifestyle hammer there, eventually you're going to fire that bullet and you're going to commit suicide. And this is why when insurance companies are seeing a 40% excess death, 40%, and in Canada it's 70% excess death in Canada, because mm-hmm. they're pulling that trigger and they're blowing their own heads off with their lifestyle choice.
All you have to do is say, hey, no, the insurance companies are now taking the position on many of their policies. Al-Anaz is one of those companies. One of the major multi-billion dollar companies is denying payments on death benefits because they're claiming that taking the inoculation is equivalent to suicide. And so they're calling it as an exemption, as assisted suicide if you receive the inoculation.
How about that? We've been talking about that. I've been talking about that for 6, 7, 8 months now. I've been mentioning that. And it is true. We will be right back. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I hope you're enjoying this. Dr. Robert Young, Terrain Theory. It's environmental, folks. Your illnesses and such. We'll be right back. Radio 100%.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Still out there?
You going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. You want to understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
imposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening. Why don't we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And welcome back to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com on this day, June 1st, 2022. June. It's June. I hope you guys all had a good three-day weekend. Maybe for some of you it was just another day. Another day off, or maybe you worked. I worked. I worked all 3 days and had fun doing it. I was feeling accomplished. We're going to go back to Dr. Robert Young. Oh, yeah, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. That is the URL. 11 years of running, listener-supported, 100% listener-supported by you, the listener, the contributor, the participant. Join our roundtables, listen to our shows. Studio A, Studio B, and a Studio C, which you get exclusively through the website itself. We are now on Roku, can you believe it? You can get Studio A on Roku TV. Over 35 million subscribers to Roku TV. So want to check that out. It is new, and it's upcoming, and it's here. It's here. It's really here. So please, buy the network a cup of coffee. It helps the bandwidth flowing. I'm going to start back up with this Dr. Robert Young, but I actually backed it up a little bit, where he talks about the jab and insurance companies basically denying payouts of benefits because it's considered suicide. We've already had reported cases of this out of like Italy and other places, basically saying they're telling people out there that all the information's out there. It's on the internet. It doesn't matter if you listen to CNN, MSNBC, or whatever the local newscast is and whatever they tell you. Because, you know, it goes back to do your own research. If you hit the web, you're going to find out all these different things that are being reported from so many different people. So many. You can't, there's, I don't know. I think we got more people telling you the truth about how bad this is than they actually have paid shills telling you how good it is. It's getting that, it's that kind of fight right now. So we're going back to this piece here. Listen up, listen closely, and share this with others. I hope it comes through.
It has been the weapon of choice. And I mean, we're talking about this even with this crazy situation that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're talking about bioweapons. I mean, that's chemical poisoning. Or we're talking about nuclear, which is radiation. I've been screaming this from the rooftops for 40 years. Folks, what's killing us is radiation and chemical poisons.
Yes,
a bullet will kill you, but it takes someone from the other side to pull the trigger. That bullet is a metaphor for acid. If you keep pulling the lifestyle hammer there, eventually you're going to fire that bullet and you're going to commit suicide. And this is why when insurance companies are seeing a 40% excess death, 40%, and in Canada it's 70%.
Wow.
Excess death in Canada. Because mm-hmm. they're pulling that trigger and they're blowing their own heads off with their lifestyle choice. All you have to do is say, hey, no, the insurance companies are now taking the position on many of their policies. Allenaz is one of those companies. One of the major multi-billion dollar companies is denying payments on death benefits because they're claiming that taking the inoculation is equivalent to suicide. And so they're calling it as an exemption, as assisted suicide if you receive the inoculation.
Right. I get that. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that. It's so horrifying, you know, just to see so many people roll over. And I just never, you know, thought it would happen like this, you know, because that's what I did since 1998. I started going majorly public. We got our website together in 1999. And I thought, you know, the most important thing we can do is get people to start thinking. And I thought everything leading up, all these fake, you know, things like avian flu or SARS, and then there's H1N1. I thought, well, certainly that would wake people up because there were so many people speaking out of those things, you know. But yeah, apparently the mind control that's happening today is short of, you know, cognitive dissonance for me. I mean, it's
it's mind control, yes, but it's based upon the principles of inducing, you know, panic, fear, and panic, and so we see those falling in line and standing up, and the mark of the beast, so to speak, is wearing that crazy mask. Because when you look at, even if these things existed, okay, the particulates that they're associating with, and this is real science. The real science has never isolated this virology. This pseudoscience, this scientism, has never isolated any virus, not mm-hmm. Ebola, not HIV, not SARS. Never been. Nothing has been isolated based upon the gold standard, which is Koch's postulates or Rivers' postulates. And this is a scientific fact. And so mm-hmm. this is when I was in Italy, in Milan, Italy, at a medical conference as a keynote speaker with guess who? Professor Luc Montagnier of the University of Paris, the Nobel laureate, who received his prize with Robert Gallo, who was disgraced for scientific fraud. You never hear his name anymore. But Luc Montagnier received the Nobel Prize for his discovery of something. You know, and guess what? I'm sitting right next to him because we're on stage. We're the keynote mm-hmm. speakers. And I said, what are you going to be talking about? And of course, he's in the program. I still have the program. He's been talking about the signatures of water and how using water to improve immunity against, you know, in his case, would be infectious conditions. You know, so mm-hmm. using water. University said, you continue down that road of research, you're going to lose your position. And so he ended up in Shanghai. So in 2011, and he just passed away, God rest his soul, mm-hmm. he was willing to give up the etiology that viruses cause disease and embrace a contextual environmental approach that disease or dis-ease is relate to pollution. And if you look to Alaskan Denali, you can see what acid rain does to trees. You can see what acid rain is doing to the coral reefs offshore of Australia, you know, at the Barrier Reef. You know, you can see that it is destroying it. Why? Because the ocean needs to stay at a pH of 8.4. And so acid rain, we have examples of that around the world. You know, where acid rain, but have you ever seen acid rain inside your body? Well, if you've ever seen a spike cell or a corona cell, that's caused by acid rain. And you surely wouldn't blame, let's say, the fact that these forests have literally lost their lives, containing no green at all. All of their needles are off their limbs. You mm-hmm. wouldn't say, oh, it was infected by a virus. No.
Right.
It was affected by an acid called carbon monoxide, called hydrogen arsenic. You know,
we have a lot of trees. The white pine has been under attack. A lot of trees. Yeah. And they, you know, they'll have this neat, you know, say that they're putting these type of beetles in the trees that are, you know, eating up the trees. But no, we have other issues going on. They're spraying stuff in the sky, you know, the chemtrails. And
well, that was the case with polio.
Right.
So with polio. And- Yeah, see, it was caused by, so every disease has a specific toxic poison. With polio, it was DDT poisoning.
But there was also
with cancer, it's lactic acid.
I know, but it's not just with polio, there were a couple things going on. They were doing nuclear testing. That's all covered. I'll have to send you some stuff. You'll be fascinated.
That just amplifies what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, DDT was the poison. Poisons may alter.
Are you there?
Areas of the body to where 50% of all the toxins in the inoculation end up in the ovaries. You know, mm-hmm. we see the castration of men and the reduction of sperm counts due to inoculation. And we see other acids like glyphosate or atrazine, which is actually, you know, causing men to become women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's changing, you know, their masculinity and castrating them. And that's, guess what? That's an herbicide, a pesticide that's being used in the food, just like glyphosate. And it's literally changing the sexuality of men and women.
Right. It is, and we also have that going on with vaccines that are, you know, aborted fetal cell lines because there's, you know, genetic material that from a boy and a girl going into childhood vaccines. So, and that's been shown to alter your genetics because it's going directly into the body and not being treated like a snake bite, not being sucked out. And it's, you know, species compatible, and it mixes up with your DNA. I've been told by many people.
Well, this is what happens is when you have genetic matter from a female fetus or a male fetus, that fetus contains the intelligence of its parents, its grandparents, its great-great-grandparents, and going on. So If you're getting female anatomical elements that make that up, these can alter,
uh-huh.
you know, not only your physicality, but your emotionality. It'll affect your physicality, your emotionality, your consciousness, and your subconsciousness, and eventually your super consciousness. And when we're dealing with this type of change, people don't realize that the living, indestructible matter that I was able to show by taking the powders of the remains of some of the ancient pharaohs and reconstituting that and bringing it back to life, because mm-hmm. nothing ever dies. It's kind of like a seed. So we're mm-hmm. talking about the anatomical elements that make up the genetics of RNA or DNA from a foreign source. That information is injected or put into the body. The body's going to reject that or try to get rid of it because it's foreign matter. But if it penetrates the cell membrane using nanotechnology to permeate cell membrane and genetics, you know, what you're ending up with is information that is now becoming part of your own DNA, and you're literally feeling like you just received, maybe potentially received, a transplant of genetic material from foreign animal or human bodies, and you're no longer you anymore.
Correct. And I totally agree that it totally affects they were doing this before, and now this is with this jab, it's like kicks out your soul is what I'm understanding is that your soul is not fully engaged in your body anymore, and it's more like on the outside while this AI energy takes over. That seems to be tied to the graphene oxide reassembling. It's like an AI type of technology connected to the graphene hydroxide or whatever, which is a poison. But that's how they're incorporating the AI and having you hooked to the cloud and all this weird stuff, right? That's a very simplistic. I know it's very simplistic.
That's the potential. Theoretically, the potential for any transplant from anybody, you know, let's say taking on somebody else's heart, a heart transplant, a liver transplant, a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
Have to use anti-rejection drugs. So whatever macro or micro or nano level, it's the same. It's an immediate rejection. It provides zero immunity up. Right? That's why we have an overactivated immune system dealing with this.
Right.
You know,
I think the organ transplant business is pure evil. I mean, they've known about how dark it is for way over 45 years. I mean, I there were books in the library, and now all of a sudden they disappeared, but showing how with the early experiments of transplants, they would take on like a liver transplant, and that person that they got the liver from that died, you know, eventually after they artificially kept him alive to harvest the liver, they would maybe be an ice cream addict and just crave ice cream all the time. And then the person that gets this person's liver finds that they have an ice cream, all of a sudden, you know, crave ice cream. You know, they're getting, you know, another.
Exactly. They take on the physicality, and they're not only taking it on for just that person, but the person's parents and grandparents. And this is why it's very risky to have multiple sex partners, because when you take on the genetic material of sperm, that stuff that goes into a woman, it goes into their bloodstream, it goes into their fatty tissues, it goes into the brain, and guess what? For every sex partner you have a little bit of them.
Yep.
And you can't get rid of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So I know you have an article on your blog about apple cider vinegar, and there's a question in the blog about that.
Well, the question is, it's a poison. I mean, if you want to poison yourself, go ahead. Yes, what it does, it stimulates the stomach to produce sodium bicarbonate. But why would you take apple cider vinegar where you can just cut to the chase and take the sodium bicarbonate rather than poisoning yourself and getting the stomach to produce it?
Mm-hmm.
Vinegar and acetaldehyde is a death knell. It's a poison. The pH on it runs between 1.5 to 2. It's highly, highly acidic. It destroys the capability of the stomach to do what it does. And what it does is it doesn't digest food. What it does is it produces alkalinity to increase the alkaline context of that food to prepare it for biological transformation at a pH of 8.4 in the crypts of the small intestine. So you get rid of all your enzymes, you get rid of all your probiotics, you just trash that science because it's worthless, and you realize that the alimentary canal, once you've swallowed the food, if you swallow corn, it comes out corn. There's no digestion that takes place either in the stomach or the small intestine. The only thing that happens in the intestine is in the food that's been liquefied, you know, will flow into the crypts of the small intestine and biologically be differentiated into an erythroblast, and then from an erythroblast to erythrocyte, and it's then the erythrocyte or the red blood cell that becomes all your body cells. You're literally causing a heart, you know, a damage and acidic damage to the intestinal villi when you're pumping down enzymes, which the Greek meaning for enzyme is poison, or if you're taking probiotics as if there's really, you know, this, you know, bacteria nationality of, you know, lactobacillus and bifidus, et cetera, et cetera. That's a byproduct of the body not getting rid of its own waste. You should not be digesting food anywhere past your throat. You only have one instrument in the human body to break down food. That's your teeth. So if you don't like chewing your food, go out and buy a blender, blend or juice your food, because that's the only way the body can use food. Everything is waste. That's why you release all this waste. But if you were juicing, if you were blending, if you were chewing your food to a blended state before you swallowed, this is when you start getting healthy. And if you move more to a green diet,
right,
more to a diet that's high in chlorophyll, high in unsaturated oils, you know, a diet that will actually donate electrons rather than steal electrons from you. That's why I don't recommend bananas or oranges, because they take energy from you. They don't donate anything of value. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, bananas are high in potassium. Yeah, all that potassium is destroyed by the high acidity, you know. So what is a vegetable that's the best? The best fruit is avocado. And some of the best vegetables, of course, are those that are green, that are high in chlorophyll. Because
okay, let me ask you. So wait. You're talking so much. I know you want to get a lot in. My understanding is that the saliva your body produces for digestion is the saliva is a pint and a half
no,
for each meal.
That's not correct.
And it's not alkalizing, because I know
the saliva's purpose is not to digest, it's to alkalize your food while you're chewing your food, masticating.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
The acids are coming from the food.
I understand, but the saliva is to alkalize it, but if you chew and everything is mixed thoroughly with saliva, that's the liquefying process, you are alkalizing the food before it goes out. Because we have a tea we make,
You're not going to get it up to you're not going to get it up to an 8.4. You may be able to get to a 6.5 or a 7.2, but as soon as it hits the stomach starts producing sodium bicarbonate. The formula in English is water, salt, carbon dioxide equals sodium bicarbonate plus hydrochloric acid. Hydrochloric acid is a waste product of sodium bicarbonate production. So when you eat food, the body starts producing baking soda to alkalize that food to bring it up to a pH of 8.4. And that's the ideal pH for biological transformation into stem cells.
Okay, hold on. I think this has been... you know, not true that there's baking powder that has aluminum in it, and baking soda, I don't believe has ever had aluminum in it. Even Arm & Hammer baking soda does not have aluminum in it. Can you answer that if you know the answer?
Well, they use aluminum oxide in order to prevent the caking agents. Whether they're doing that now, I haven't assayed or done a toxicology on it lately, but
here again, it should say on the label, and there are like there's red,
right.
I think Red Barons. Anyway, they put on their label that it does not contain any nanoparticulates or microparticulates, particularly aluminum. So you need to find a sodium bicarbonate that is free of that. And so I would do your own homework on that.
I'm just saying Arm & Hammer that I buy, a big bag, it clumps up. And it says under the ingredients, it's the only ingredient. I mean, it doesn't seem to have anything that's free-flowing at all, just because there's big rocks of it, you know? I mean, it's hard. You know, you have to break it up if you're using it in your laundry or anything.
Then it doesn't contain aluminum.
Correct. You know, I'm just saying, someone in the chat said that. And then... we were talking about urine therapy a little bit during the break, because I had mentioned it on a show. For some people that are in, you know, a mental ward or in prison, I mean, I've known people that have really saved their lives, even though all they're getting in is, you know, pretty much poison in terms of food and water. They're trying the best they can in there. the exercise.
Well, yeah, because the water is toxic. It's chemical laden, and the food is GMO'd, and it contains atrazine and glyphosate. So you know you're not getting anywhere there. So yeah, you can hurt yourself big time with prison food. So the drinking of the urine, which is mildly acidic, would help break up some of the congestion, and it's coming from your own body, so it's not like you're taking on any foreign anatomical elements from other sources. So that would be you know a form of treatment. Ideally, I wouldn't recommend it because it's not going to take you where you want to go. But if you start, you know, taking like 3 to 5 grams of sodium bicarbonate in 4 ounces of distilled or alkaline water, in the morning and just before going to bed, and then anytime your pH drops below 7.2, and that's what I suggest, you know, to anyone who's trying to help themselves with their health. And when you start getting it up to 8.4, if you're healing or trying to heal yourself, of course, that number jumps up because the body will over-alkalize an environment or an area if there's a broken bone or a torn muscle or any type of damage to any organ or tissue or gland. The pH ideally should be at a pH of 9 for healing to take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. So we do have a caller, and he's been patiently waiting. We have Dave in New York on line one. Welcome to the show, Dave. Do you have a burning question here?
Sorry, I had to take it off speaker. I'm sorry about that. Yes, hello, Ingrid and Dr. Young.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yes.
Oh, yes, good evening.
Yeah, I've seen some of your microscopy work before, I think on the vaccines, and I see that you have some interesting concepts here that some of them may be new to us. One thing you said, I think you said, did you say that COVID was produced by toxins, that the disease COVID was produced by toxins? Or
what I said, COVID is not a viral condition. It's a chemical. It's a chemical poisoning and radiation poisoning disease. So when we look at Wuhan, October 30th, when we had the outbreaks in Wuhan, and when this whole thing started, they had turned on the 5G.
Right.
So prior to that, they had been vaccinated. So with the vaccination. With the graphene oxide, and the Chinese admit to graphene being in the vaccine, by the way. They're the only country that came clean with it. Pfizer hasn't stood up.
I think it's in a number of patents as well that it's approved for. I don't know. And Dr. Richard Young said that graphene oxide has been in vaccines quite some time. I can't verify that what he said is true, but... did say that. Yeah.
Well, when we started looking at this, we started looking at it in 2019. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at the flu vaccines and now the corona vaccine and I haven't received any samples of the monkey pox, take out the K and it's the money pox vaccine.
Right.
But here again, the agenda, if you read the patents and the language and their own words, the patents, and then when you actually do the toxicology using, directed dispersive spectroscopy, and so you get the signature of these ingredients, it's just not graphene. It's graphene and ferric oxide. So it's iron and graphene as acting as biosensors. And when you start going to Google search, you know, Google Scholar, or if you go to PubMed and start putting in, patent information or research studies on graphene and ferric oxide, or graphene and gold, or graphene and silicon. But yes, these are things we are also finding. And in fact, if you go to my blog and put in electron and transmission microscopy in the identification of the non-disclosed ingredients, this article is being published in a shorter form without some of the personal etiologies there, but it's being published in June in a peer-reviewed in June in a peer-reviewed journal. But it describes the ingredients that are in the Pfizer, the Moderna, the AstraZeneca, and the J&J. So you can look at that, and then you can decide whether or not you want to participate in whatever your conclusions are about this, whether you want that injected into your body. Because once it's in the body, you remember their original comment. They said it does not leave the injection site. Okay?
Yeah, right.
So we're fine. Yeah, that is not the case. We found it in ovaries, gonads, heart, liver, spleen, bone, brain. The majority, of course, in ovaries, gonads, heart, and brain.
I had a specific question about what you're saying then. So you're saying that the cause of the disease is graphene oxide and 5G and maybe other things?
What I'm saying is graphene is the material of the 21st century to be used as a material that's light, that's 1,000 times stronger than steel. It's a thickness of one atom that is the nano size is small enough to permeate the cell membrane and the genetics to act as a biosensor to receive and transmit 4G, 3G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. You won't survive 6G. You probably won't survive 5G if you have graphene in your body. And this is why everyone has to be mandated to receive the vaccine, because once you've received the inoculation and once the graphene ferric oxide is in the fatty tissues, this is when you will receive your own personal identification number. And, of course, the Microsoft company holds the patent on this to actually control these IP addresses,
the human to be able to be connected to that.
Yeah, that caller kept interrupting. So my is just being said that 6G and 7G are already developed. Whether or not these things are activated, how it works, I don't know. They can turn this stuff on. They can turn it off. They can raise the volume. I mean, it's all pretty sinister, and none of this is good for any of us. We're organic beings, and it's none of it's good for us. You can see what they do to the birds and the bees and so forth. So let's hopefully you can get past this caller here.
My question is simply this. Are the toxins that you're referring to that are causing COVID, is it graphene oxide plus 5G plus maybe the iron oxides you're talking about? Are those the toxins that you're finding?
These are the main ones, but you can also get sick with just 8.4 gigahertz and up. At 60 gigahertz, you can actually destroy your life with just radiation poisoning. But the combination of graphene, you know, and the 5G is the 1-2 punch that is creating the excess deaths, the injuries, and the excess deaths.
That may explain why some people are not sensitive to it, and others have the disease badly and things. I mean, it's not inconsistent with the data. I found it very interesting that what you did, I think, is you confirmed graphene oxide by your fluorescence spectroscopy, X-ray fluorescence spectroscopy or something, showing that there were only elements of graphene oxide present other than sodium and chloride. Is that correct? I think I remember your work. And that was much more confirmatory
spectra. If you go back to the article, when you look at the spectroscopy, You know, you'll actually see that it's in a nanolipid capsid. It's contained, over 90% of that is graphene oxide. They can add additional in a what are called multi graphene tubes. They can add, it can be two-dimensional or three-dimensional, where they can add other things like ferric oxide, or they can add aluminum oxide. So they're experimenting, and the reason they're experimenting and why this is the great experiment is because they're trying to determine the lethal dose of, this is a human experience, trying to determine the lethal dose of the graphene oxide and some of these other nano particulates that are added to it. But you'll notice that all of them contain the graphene, and all of them contain the iron or the ferric oxide. So those are the signatures.
They could have done all those experiments on the Ugers, okay, basically. Dave, they had a million or two, right? Yeah.
Dave, we have a bunch of other callers, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check out the research on this. I'm not the only one that's reported on this. There's other scientists. The Italians reported on this as well, and their work was published in 2017, mm-hmm. even before mine. I wasn't even aware of that, but it was published in 2017. You can look it up under MedCrave.
MedCrave, that site's still up, okay? Because we referred to
it. Yeah, well, that's the publisher. I can tell right. you the article. The article's called New Quality Control Investigation on Vaccines, Micro and Nano Contamination. The only thing they don't right. list, which is new, is they don't list the graphene. But they list everything else that's in these. So graphene was, I think, the first experiments that were carried out on that was in the release of the coronavirus vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even though the technology was there.
I just wanted to say that, yeah, we had a whole section on this from the MedCrave and their investigations, but I thought it was taken down. I'm going to have to check my link at my website.
No, anyway. New Quality Control Investigations on Vaccines. It's not taken down. If anyone wants a copy.
No, I mean, we're talking about an older article. And this is like, you know, way before COVID. Way, way, way. When they were the Italian.
No, this is volume 4, issue 1, 217. The authors are Stefano, who I know, Montanari, Antonetta Gatti.
Right.
I mean,
right. I know her. Yeah.
Know. Okay. Yeah. So these scientists, you can read the abstract. This stuff is real. I mean, there are scientists out there, you know, and of course, I could apologize that maybe you're not familiar with reading, or most people aren't, you know, accustomed to reading scientific papers, but I think if you read the abstract, you read the introduction, and if you read the specific and look at the specific ingredients, because they are all listed,
right.
Okay, and they're listed by Pfizer, by GlaxoSmithKline, and all their ingredients are listed. And we're talking about vaccinations for Ebola or HIV.
Okay, let's clarify. They're not listing it. They've taken it and done a lab analysis and listing everything, because Pfizer, they don't list everything that's in there.
No, they don't. And that's why.
So this is why. They're doing that through a follow-through lab analysis and telling you what's really in these things. I just wanted to clarify. Sorry.
Yeah, and another thing that folks, I'm going to post this within the next few hours.
Okay.
But not this article, because they've already done it. But I'm posting an article that was peer reviewed and published in 2015, prior
okay.
to this 2017.
We
I'm
have
going to post this.
Can we have take a caller? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, Alan in South Dakota. Thanks for being patient. Do you have a question for Dr. Young?
Visit drrobertyoung.com or is doctorrobertyoung.com?
No, it's
It's drrobertyoung.com.
All right, and my next question, which diet is better, an all-plant-based diet like a vegan diet or the diet that's recommended by Weston A. Price where you can eat organ meats from animals that are free-range and free-range eggs and raw dairy products from pasture-raised cattle?
He answered that.
Well, here again, with today, I mean, if you have control of those animals, you're raising them and feeding them, I would say you're probably going to be okay, but you're still going to have to deal with the byproducts or the breakdown products of those particular animal products, which is sulfuric acid from eggs and from meat, nitric acid, phosphoric acid, and uric acid. And, of course, these acids in a compromised environment of which we live in, thank you, our wonderful governments around the world who have plandemicked all of this, you know, to pollute our water, to pollute our food, to pollute our air. And now they're, you know, pollute our minds to restrict the cures that are available for us. But they won't allow the cures to happen because they don't involve big pharma. So, you know, even Obama, when I met with him in the White House concerning Obamacare in 2011, as a consultant, I suggested that this should be a plan that allows people freedom of choice between alternative or conventional. And he says, yeah, that was what was written in. It was taken out by Congress because mm-hmm. they're all bought and paid for by big pharma. And so when you're talking about cows that are in your market, I mean, you don't know the source. So how do you control the toxicity, particularly when they're injecting other chemicals or poisons in that food?
Well, I'm talking
we're talking about Weston A. Price. What Alan is talking about is people that
with the raw organs and all this stuff. Here again, the body
local
cannot.
Local farms. It's all sourced from, you know, the local people. So they're not like injected cows where you have magnetized meat or, you know, any weirdness, you know.
Yeah. So that is a better choice. Absolutely. And using that in small amounts, if you're looking at proportion, that should never exceed 20% of your diet. 80% of it should be plant-based vegan diet, green as much as possible.
80% should be organic vegetables.
Organic, non-GMO vegetables, particularly the greener the better. The 20% can be the other. That's called the 80-20 plan. But if you're dealing with any symptomology, if you have a degenerative condition, if you have an ulceration or degeneration in your body, if you're making stones, you know, which is just the chelation of acid, then you're going to have to look at 100% and discontinue the 20%. And for those who sign, who ask, you know, they can ask on my email, phmiraclelife@gmail.com, just say, hey, Dr. Young, will you send me your article on cancer? Would you send me the charts on foods to eat and foods not to eat? And not just here's a list, but break it up into six columns. You know, what foods are most alkalizing, moderately or mildly alkaline? Which foods are highly acidic, moderately acidic, and mildly acidic? And so, you know, I can provide that to you at no charge. All you have to do is either sign up for the drrobertyoung.com, which costs no money at all, or write me an email at phmiraclelife@gmail.com, and I'm happy to send you, you know, this information for free, because it should be for free, and it should be free to every walking, breathing human being on the planet, to give them some sort of perspective of what they can do to help themselves and literally take back control of their health, rather than wholesaling it out to an uneducated medical system.
Okay, there's like 3 minutes left of this interview. You can catch that at republicbroadcasting.org. That's Ingrid Cassell, Cassel. You'll find it in a host's archive, and that's Immunize Wisely. There's about 3 minutes left of that. I hope you got a lot out of it. You know, our friend Tom Rogers, Dr. Tom Rogers, His websites are Gassing, okay, like fuel, gassingamerica.com or tominutah.com. We've had him on Revolution Radio. He's an often caller at RBN and K-Talk and so forth. And he's a familiar guy. We had him on as guests on our shows, several of us. But when he was 50 years old, he was on the cold metal table. He was almost on the slab. His health deteriorated, and he was about to die. But he changed his diet, got rid of all the dairy and meats and whatnot. And, you know, he's 80-something today. So there's something to it. So Young didn't say to get out all meats. He just said, you know, try to eat clean meats. You know, there was a lot in that conversation, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. I want to jump over to Naomi Wolf, that a conversation they had last week, and she's getting into the babies with the jab and the babies. And basically, remember last year in 2021, they started advertising through wherever, saying, oh, the experts say it's okay for pregnant women to take the vaccine, and it's safer and whatever. And they never had an expert. They always give it a generic term, experts. Well, it turns out that Big Pharma, Big Pharma, the murderers basically knew all along. And it's not 75% of babies are aborted when the women have the jab. It's not that they're sterilizing the women or lowering the sperm count in men. 100% miscarriages or abortions, basically. It wasn't 25, it wasn't 35, it wasn't 55. It was basically 100%. And if there was an occasion, if there is an occasion that a baby's born, it may be deformed. And this also affects the breast milk, as we're about to hear with Dr. Naomi Wolf.
Set of announcements I'm about to make. And so it's 7 headlines about babies and reproduction. Please look at Etana Hecht's Substack. She's an Israeli journalist who put together the reports that the Daily Cloud War Room volunteers did, and added some reporting from around the world. And the bottom line is babies are dying disproportionately and getting sick from vaccinated mothers. So here's how this unfolds. Number one, pregnant women were excluded from Pfizer's internal trials. Number two, the consensus that you heard that the mRNA vaccines are safe and effective for pregnant women to take was based on 44 French rats followed over a period of 42 days, and the rats were not even allowed to give birth. The scientists autopsied the baby rats and decided that the vaccine was safe and effective for human women. The scientists who ran that study were shareholders in Pfizer or BioNTech. Number three, all of the emergency use authorizations for the mRNA vaccine excluded pregnant women, but they still said safe and effective. Number four, and this is shocking, on pages 12 and 13 of a document in the Pfizer release called Post-Marketing Experience, there were 270 pregnant women that had not been excluded in advance. And so 28% of those and 4 fetuses had serious adverse events. These, for the mothers, these included miscarriage, fetal deaths, preterm deliveries, premature rupture of membranes, and fetal growth restrictions. For the babies, these included vomiting, fever, rash, agitation, and allergy to the vaccine. And again, we're hearing anecdotal reports of agitated babies, babies that are failing to grow, failing to thrive, babies getting sick with GI problems from breast milk of vaccinated mothers across the country. Of the nursing mothers, they suffered partial paralysis, suppressed lactation, breast milk discoloration. 4 mothers, nursing mothers, reported blue-green breast milk. I am not making this up. After they were vaccinated. Yet Pfizer concluded there were no serious adverse events. Number five, Pfizer's internal documents, brace yourselves, define exposure to the vaccine as including breastfeeding. They also include sexual contact as exposure to the vaccine, which we can talk about another time. Number six, there's missing data in the Pfizer documents. Of the 270 pregnancies, 238 were identified as no known outcomes. In other words, the cat ate their homework. These women were intentionally or unintentionally not followed to see what happened to their babies. But of the 36 known outcomes, brace yourself, 28 babies died before or at birth. Of the 36 known outcomes of pregnant women in the Pfizer trials, 28 babies, most of the babies, died before or at birth. And now let's pan out around the world from these micro data and look at the big picture. There are three countries now reporting baby die-offs. And Aitana Hecht, to her credit, assembled these studies to add to the Pfizer documents research team's discoveries. In Waterloo, Ontario, 86 babies were born dead between January and July of 2021, a massive spike over the baseline of previous years, so massive that a parliamentarian brought this to Parliament, and yet nothing was done to protect Canadian women and children. In Scotland now, there are studies confirming, this is widely reported, the BBC reported it, double the number, double the baseline of babies, newborns died by September of 2021. And Scotland is an almost completely vaccinated country. And now most recently, in Rambam Hospital in Haifa, again, Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries. It was the petri dish for the Green Pass for universal vaccination. In Rambam Hospital, vaccinated mothers are suffering abortions, miscarriages, and stillbirths at a rate 34% above the rate suffered by unvaccinated mothers. So three countries are now reporting signals that are dramatic of vaccinated mothers having stillborn babies, dead babies, dead fetuses, miscarriages, rupture of membranes. That's the big picture. I can tell you more in detail, but this is, you know, this should be front page news everywhere.
Okay. Tell me, the book comes out Tuesday, The Body of Others. You're going to have all kind of breaking news in that and analysis.
Okay, that's Dr. Naomi Wolf, dailyclout.io, and they're just ripping apart all the Pfizer documents over there. And it's a great bioweapon. You know, it's ironic that they had this Roe vs. Wade deal come up, and I think it's just a cover-up. I think it's just a confusion because of the jab that's harming so many infants or babies in the womb and so forth is what's going on. So basically, Roe vs. Wade doesn't even matter because that jab, and as I said, it's transferred in their own documents from Pfizer and whomever. The vax transfers through the breast milk. Okay, and if it's blue, well, gee, there's a clue. But it transfers through the breast milk, and they note sexual contact. Sorry. Now, of course, you know, could that just be as much as kissing? You know, I mean, who knows? I don't know. But definitely intercourse, just like many other STDs are whatever out there. And this could be the worst STD in all world history for the fact it changes your DNA, right? And all that other stuff. So it's not good stuff. It's not whatever. We only have about 4 minutes left. But today at Steve Bannon's War Room, warroom.org, warroom.org. You can get all the episodes there or at rumble.com. You can get Steve Bannon's War Room, but they had a guy named Dr. Risch, R-I-S-C-H, and he was talking, I don't know, he's just kind of like laying it out. He was on the sidelines for so long. We only got 3 minutes left, so I'm not really going to get much out of here, so maybe we'll get 2 minutes in. But I would totally suggest that it's episode 1897. Dr. Risch explains the crisis of COVID. And 3 minutes to go here. I hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all again. I can't guarantee I'll be here next week, so maybe Miss Mona Radler, who's been doing a great job for me. I appreciate all her help. She's a hard working woman and glad to help anybody that needs it if she can. And I appreciate her as well as many others out there. And Mitchell Butt filled in one night, and thanks to him. All right, so let's listen to this, and I'll sign us out. Remember, this is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and this is June 1st, 2022. I hope you're all doing well, and big shout-out to my archive junkies out there, Mr. Sergeant Miller and so forth.
That's correct. I'm due to retire from my full job, but I'm staying on as a senior research scientist because I still have grants running for another few years. And so I'm still doing a lot of my academic activities, and certainly the COVID work continues.
So I want to go back to Dr. McCullough. He said that this is bigger than any war, that this is bigger than any one conflict, that this is something on a global scale, and it's not just the virus and the disease. It was all of it. It was the reaction to it. It's what the institutions did about it. Is he, in your mind, having spent your professional career doing this, is he correct?
I think he is. At the outset of this, we couldn't understand why these early outpatient treatment medications were being suppressed with fake studies and fake evidence.
Whoa. What do you mean fake?
So the randomized trial, first of all, they were the studies of early outpatient treatment with hydroxychloroquine show very clear evidence of benefit in the first 5 or 6 days. But what was being put out against that were hospital studies that didn't show evidence of benefit. And yet that was claimed to prove that it didn't work in outpatients, which is a total misrepresentation because they're two different diseases. Hospital disease is a florid pneumonia with all this immune system debris that clogs up the lungs, totally different than a flu-like illness where people get, you know, a head cold, cough, sore throat, seizing, muscle aches, and so on, treated with different medications, totally different. And so it was just not intelligible as to why these messages were coming out. And at that point, what seemed apparent was that this was a method to protect competing medications. At first, it was only remdesivir because that was all that was in parallel. That's only, at the time, was only a hospital usage medication.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you